unusual sight. He wears his fatigues, though he's not in the fight. A knife and a pistol, his daily motif. But you'll find him for lunch at the Circle Sportif. Singing dinky-dow, dinky-dow, dinky-dow-doo. With their hands in their pockets and nothing to do. Well, if you go to Saigon to visit this crew, they'll be all upset 'cause your brass isn't new. If you ask for more weapons, they'll think you're in fun. They know that advisors should not need a gun. Singing dinky-dow, dinky-dow, dinky-dow-doo. With their hands in their pockets and nothing to do. Most Saigon commandos now wear a bronze star. They got it for writing reports on the war. They've never been shot at nor seen a VC. But they know they deserve it. They work for MACV. Singing dinky-dow, dinky-dow, dinky-dow-doo. With their hands in their pockets and nothing to do. Well, when this war is over and you all go home, you'll meet Saigon warriors wherever you roam. You'll know them by sight and they're not in your class. They don't have diarrhea, just a big chair-borne ass. Singing dinky-dow, dinky-dow, dinky-dow-doo. With their hands in their pockets and nothing to do. Singing dinky-dow, dinky-dow, dinky-dow-doo. With their hands in their pockets and nothing to do.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
I'm going to play Cobra 7, which is one of my favorite Vietnam songs.
Fill your mugs and glasses, and I'll sing to you a song of a fact called Cobra 7 and his fight against the Kong. We flew 3-corps together, we worked it night and day. From the dusty strip at Coochie to the main street of Song Bay. He was flying late one evening round the mountain near Tay Ninh when he heard the choppers mayday, we're hit and going in. At the base of Tay Ninh Mountain, he saw the Huey fall, started for the crash site and made a mayday call. He heard the voice on guard then, a survivor on the ground. There's 3 of us alive here and bad guys all around. As he looked down at the clearing, saw VC all about. Help was on the way now, but time was running out. He armed his Willie Peter, he still had 2 full racks, hosed 2 off at the VC and stopped them in their tracks. Then he saw the Kong regrouping and once more moving in, fired his last 2 rockets and turned them back again. A Huey out of Tay Ninh then arrived upon the scene. To cover for the rescue, he grabbed his M16. He was firing out the window flying low across the trees, with the bullets swarming round him like a hive of deadly bees. The friendlies watched in wonder at this pilot bold and brave, one man holding back 20 while the Huey made the save. As they climbed aboard the chopper, saw the VC find the range, and they cried for Cobra 7 as he went down in flames. In the dusty heat of Three Corps, when the Army's long day ends, they speak in silent voices of the fact who saved their friend. From Lyke up to Budop, from Coochie to Fuklung, they remember Cobra 7 and his fight against the Kong.
Well, everyone, Bill has just joined me, and I guess we'll have to get started with sports. But right now, I'm putting on a friendly fact.
This is Green Beret. We see you flying high above, out of danger's way. If you could spare a moment to help your fellow man, I wish you'd try to find me and tell me where I am. Green Beret, Green Beret, this is your friendly fact. You see me flying overhead while you're still in the sack. Still I'll try to find you, set you people straight. But hurry, 'cause it's steak night and I don't want to be late. Friendly fact, this is Green Beret. We appreciate you helping send us on our way. But I really wish you'd think of danger on the ground, tromping through the jungle while you just fack around. Green Beret, Green Beret, this is friendly fact. If you no longer need me, I'm gonna head on back. I'll settle for a souvenir, whatever you can bag, an AK-47 or a bloodstained VC flag. Friendly fact, we've just come under fire. If you cannot help us, we'll join the Angels Choir. With automatic weapons, we're really getting hit. So hurry with the fighters, 'cause we are in deep shit. Green Beret, you were cut out, I read you number 10. The C-team's telling dirty jokes, so please transmit again. You got Charlie cornered, please don't let him get away. I've sent a call for fighters, but it may take all day. Friendly fact, please get your finger out. We've tangled with the regiment of that, I have no doubt. You can get us out of Charlie's fearful deadly grip, we'll give you facts a great big square in our comic strip. Green Beret, Green Beret, this is your friendly fact. Let me take some photographs in case you don't get back. Turn this way a little, hold it, that's the style. You're on candid camera, so let me see you smile. Green Beret, Green Beret, they're shooting at this fact. I hear the bullets whistling by, I hear the rifles crack. I'm missing my siesta, I need a taste of rum. If you no longer need me, I guess I'll head for home. Oh, thank God our fighters now circling overhead. Charlie's gonna wish that he had stayed home in bed. He's gonna meet his maker in the land that is to be. We're gonna blow his body up and set his spirit free. Friendly fact and fighters, I hope you see our smoke. That first strike came too close to us, it really was no joke. Green Beret, we're holding high, the fact he got it wrong. Thought that you were marking the position of the Kong. Fighters, this is friendly fact, please hold it high and dry. We can get this straightened out if we all really try. Doesn't really matter if I marked a friend or foe, 'cause you can't hit a cow's rear end no matter where you go. Fighters, you're cleared in again, please do the best you can. Situations all fouled up beyond the help of man. Just bomb the general area when the smoke clears out. We'll just count the bodies and let God sort them out. Now most of us are safe at home. We beat the dreaded calm. We simply let it hang all out to help the war along. Friendly fackin' fighters will always save the day, killing off the Charlies to the last damn Green Beret.
Well, I hope you enjoyed. These are some of the songs written by guys in Vietnam when they were in Vietnam. Most of you probably might recall some of the tunes. I'm Pat Smits, and hope you enjoyed the different program today. We'll play the news, and then we'll be back with sports. And because it's Veterans Day, I want to make some comments about some of our veterans who served in the armed forces. And, of course, Bill is here, and we'll be talking about football. And so stay tuned and listen to the news, and then, as I said, we'll be back, and we're going to let you know who sponsors the news.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Firefighters in Southern California are doing what they can to protect homes in Ventura and Los Angeles counties from fast-moving wildfires. We're hearing over 30,000 homes have been evacuated, and Acting Governor Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency today. As Florida heads towards a machine recount for the Senate and gubernatorial races, current Republican Governor Rick Scott and Senate candidate running against Democrat Bill Nelson has one question for Broward County election officials.
Broward County came up with 78,000 more votes after the election night. How did Palm Beach County come up with 15,000 more votes? They can't tell us where they came from. They can't tell us how they got there. There's no transparency.
On Friday, President Trump issued an order to deny asylum rights to migrants who entered the country illegally. The ACLU in Northern California is already challenging that ruling. This is USA Radio News.
For professional staffing, there's only one name you need to know, Robert Half. Robert Half custom matches our candidates to your specific hiring requirements by combining personalized service from local staffing experts with an advanced matching technology based on 70 years of successful placements. For highly skilled accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, or administrative staffing, count on Robert Half. We'll find you productive, engaged employees. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire short list of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Well, I think we'll have Bill tell us about the weather. We don't even have to report the weather because everybody knows it's
raining cats and dogs out there, folks. I will tell you what it's, as my favorite comedian from the 30s would have said, W.C. Fields, it ain't a fit night out for man or beast. But rain is coming down. It's coming down in buckets. My wife and I were going to be leaving for central Pennsylvania this afternoon, but given the rain and the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation obstruction, we decided we would get good. Well, the getting's good tomorrow morning at first light, assuming, of course, that it ever stops raining.
I'm not sure it's going to. And since this is approaching Veterans Day, of course, Sunday is Veterans Day, and most of us will be happy in this area to be sitting inside watching a football game. But it is Veterans Day. Those of you who are off on Monday to celebrate the day, think about why we're celebrating the day. And Bill, although we'll talk about our regular sports, I did want to mention at some point some of the NFL players that probably we all remember who in fact were in the military. And you know, you ever remember and I think you'll remember this guy, Chuck Bednarik. I never can pronounce his name.
Bednarik.
So remember him? He of course was in the military. And of course, Pat Tillman, one of the most recent tragedies, of course, left the military, voluntarily left. Who was he? Was he playing for the Arizona Cardinals at the time? Do you recall? Bill, do you recall who Pat Tillman was playing for? I think he was playing for the, was it the Arizona Cardinals?
What team are we talking about?
Pat Tillman, Pat Tillman,
who was killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan.
Right.
He was playing for the Arizona Cardinals and left his NFL career, where I think he was a receiver, and went into the service. It was eventually suffered
was
a tragic death by friendly fire.
Right, and actually, he was one who gave up a multi-million-dollar contract to join the military. His decision to enlist in the Army Rangers, he was in the Army Rangers, and I can't believe that's going back to 2002. It was purely voluntary. I was talking to Joe Eggert earlier in my program, about he was in Vietnam, and of course most of the guys who served over there, I don't know, maybe not most, but I think most were in fact drafted. But of course that made it very different. I think that was one of the reasons why there were a lot of protests at the time that you don't see today, because they were in fact drafted at that time, where today it's an all-voluntary service. But Pat Tillman, he was of course someone who was very good football player, had his career ahead of him, a multi-million dollar contract. But there were some other guys who went in, including a few people from my favorite team. Did I ever tell you about what happened in the 1960s?
Nope.
Well, a lot of the guys were in Green Bay. They were part of the Army National Guard, and including Paul Hornung, and some of the guys who went in and were in and were big deal because we had the 1961 championship game, and you know how those guys got to play. You probably don't. You have to be a diehard Packer fan, I guess, to know some of this stuff.
Nope.
But actually, Vince Lombardi was a friend of Kennedy. And what happened is the National Guard in Wisconsin, this was during the Berlin crisis, and they were called up. They had to go out to Washington State. And so you had a couple of these guys, including Packers, and they were on active duty in the National Guard because of the, I thought it was because of the Berlin Wall or the Berlin crisis, but apparently, in fact, that was true. I guess the Soviet Union at that time had demanded that Western forces leave West Berlin, and that was be known as the Berlin Crisis. So these guys, because of the Cold War, they were called up. My town, most of the people, or a lot of the guys, were National Guard. They were all called up. There was almost no one left in my little town in Wisconsin. But what happened is the Packers were going to play in the national championship. And they weren't going to let some of these guys come back. In fact, Paul Hornung, Boyd Dollar, and Ray Nitschke. And if you ever knew anything about Nitschke, I mean, he was just ferocious. So what happened, Lombardi was really upset because these guys were not playing and not able to play. And the Packers were hit harder than anyone else in the NFL because of this scenario. So they felt, okay, one thing to miss a game or two in the regular season if they couldn't get a weekend pass, but it would be critical to the Packers as far as their chances of winning if any one of these three guys missed the NFL championship. Especially, I think Lombardi would have said Hornung. I might have said Nitschke, but in any event, that's where the relationship with Kennedy came into play. Because actually, story was, and it's a true story, that Lombardi, since he was a big JFK supporter during the 1960 presidential election, they became friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, in the 60 election, Senator Humphrey was an early favorite in Wisconsin because he was a Minnesota senator. But in any event, Lombardi became friends with Kennedy, and what happened is, so Kennedy was in the White House. Hornung's, whoever would have been in charge, Hornung was not granted a pass to go back to the Packer game for that championship game, and of course that would have been a huge blow, as Hornung was the NFL most valuable player in 1961. So Lombardi placed a call to Kennedy to see if the president could get Hornung a pass to join the team for the big game. Sure enough, Hornung was given a pass to the game. But isn't that, you know, the interesting thing is apparently Kennedy told Lombardi that Paul Hornung isn't going to win the war on Sunday, but if the football fans in this country deserve two best teams to play that day, Kennedy himself had somebody call the base and make sure that Hornung got his pass. So, you know, today we wouldn't have that, but that was a true story of, and of course always the Packers, you know, would agree that the headlines, of course, was that President Kennedy once helped the Packers win an NFL title. So we're back. So what is currently happening? Of course, my team is going to be playing the Miami Dolphins this week. What else do you have to say about?
Well, we want to talk football. I'd be delighted to talk football, Pat. But before we talk football, my Philadelphia Flyers seem to be on fire. They just took two from Arizona, including one last night in overtime, 5-4 on Shane Gotisbehere's goal in overtime. Within a minute 30 left, the Flyers opened up a 2-0 lead in the first period on goals by Lawton and Giroux, Claude Giroux. Then, unfortunately, they allowed two shorthanded goals to the Arizona Phoenix Coyotes, excuse me. And unfortunately, there is a problem. Fans booed. The boos just rained from the stands like you would not believe. But suddenly the Flyers managed to tie the game in the last 2 minutes, 4-4, and went ahead on a really nice goal from defenseman Shane Kotisbeher in about a minute 30 into overtime. So the Flyers won in overtime 5-4. They've managed to actually work their way up the standings to where they're now in third place in the Metropolitan Division, which means that even though it's early in the season, they're now at the level where they might just make the playoffs. Meanwhile, a lot of people are calling for the head of coach Pete Haxtell because he does not seem to be inspiring this team. Flyers have had their share of injuries, particularly with goaltenders. That seems to be an ongoing problem. But, you know, it takes a red-hot goalie to get you through the season these days and get you through the playoffs.
So what are the most, what are the biggest types of injuries that the goalies suffer?
I think goalies get a lot of strains and sprains and torn labrums. Remember, they do those splits, so they get what they call in hockey lower body injuries, but they're really a lot of groin injuries. Additionally, that puck is coming at you at 100 miles an hour, and sometimes it gets in between pads, and it really does hurt. My brother, who played goalie for many, many years, including college, and then pickup afterwards, always said that he never came out of a game without at least one or two bruises, and he was pretty well padded. I can tell you also that the kinds of injuries that you see can be concussions, because even though the puck hits the mask and the mask is well padded, the kinetic energy of the puck is going to cause the brain to bounce back and forth inside the skull. And despite what they say about hockey players, they do have brains. So that's what's going on.
Meanwhile, I would hope so.
Meanwhile, the Eagles are playing Dallas, I think, in Philly, are they not, this weekend? I think it's a 1 o'clock game. The Eagles have come off their bye week. They picked up a wide receiver in Golden Tate, who I think is going to certainly help them. J.A., their running back, is out for the season. Garrett Blott, of course, was traded away last year. And so the Eagles are not the Eagles of 2017.
No, they're certainly not.
They're 4-4, and Dallas is 3-5. And my fear is that they could both be 4-5 next week. And fortunately, Washington lost last week, and now Dallas.
So what's Washington? They're still ahead.
Washington's
though, aren't they?
5-3.
Right.
And.
And of course. I had a lot of good bets last week on the Giants. I bet they would not lose. And, of course, I won my bets because they didn't play. I thought that was unusual that both the Eagles and the Giants had bye the same week, right?
It is. I don't know how the NFL decides when the bye week is, but this came at the right time. It was literally in the first half, right at the end of the first half of the football season. And a lot of guys who were banged up, you know, Jason Kelce said that he really needed this week to start feeling healthy again because he's got strains and sprains that are class 3 or third degree, and he's finally beginning to feel like himself. And, you know, as a center, you've got a lot of responsibility besides making sure the ball snaps. So you're in a very, very funny situation. You have the ability to get well and get well quickly. Meanwhile, the Jets, Sam Darnold is not going to be playing this weekend. We'll be back to his predecessor.
Why not? Why isn't he playing? Is he injured?
He became injured. He strained his shoulder. They're keeping him out. I think he also had such a bad performance that it might be better for him just to watch a more experienced quarterback this weekend.
Well, talking about performances, of course, you know, the Packers have had this horrible schedule this year. I've complained about it. We're not even able to go out to a game. But, you know, first of all, they lost to the Rams because of a fumble, which was, you know, the stupid play of Ty Montgomery trying to come out and take the ball out of the end zone, run it out, when, you know, they could have just, you know, started on the 20-yard line. So that was really dumb. And then, of course, this last week, I think they would have won against the Patriots if without that fumble by Jones, although the Patriots, I'm not saying that Patriots didn't look good, but I thought the Packers looked very good. I thought Rodgers seemed to be better. You know, he had a week, he had a bye week, so he had had some time to recover. But then with that fumble, now they go back to Green Bay, and this will be the only game that they've had between October 16th and December 1st. It's the only game that they have at home. I mean, it's just their schedule has just been incredible. So, you know, I'm certainly hoping that they can win this game, because they're just really not looking good at all. Even though Aaron Rodgers has come back and played through, I think, an injury that would have kept most quarterbacks out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the funny thing about Green Bay is whether they have a good season or a bad season, the fans turn out.
They don't boo most of the time.
Well, they're too polite to boo. They're Midwesterners. On the other hand, you know, in Philly or in New York, we've seen where the teams have had bad performances. They may be 6-9 going into December. Their last couple of games, you can't give the seats away. Who wants to sit out there and freeze and watch your team lose their last game and just to be able to say you went to a football game?
Well, actually, you know, Packers Stadium will be full for the last game that they play, irrespective of what the day is.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is true. They're playing here on the 23rd of December. I think it's the 23rd. Yeah, 23rd of December, which will be interesting because it might be possible to get tickets for a couple reasons. One, it's an awful time to be playing football, you know, 2 days before Christmas for those of us who, you know, really celebrate the day and, you know, spend 3 days cooking. And, of course, I'm not sure, depending on, you know, how the Jets are doing. They're not looking that good. So what do you think their chances of getting into the playoffs are?
Jets? Mm-hmm. Probably nil at this point. Remember, they've got to get a wild card because they've got the New England Patriots. The second thing is the Jets have the ability to end up with another decent draft choice, even though they say the draft this year is a little thin. The other difficulty I think the Jets are going to face is Miami's played better than they have. They've played Miami twice now, and I think they've lost both times. So unless they get that last wild card, which is not likely, they're going to be in trouble.
Well, it's certainly one of the games that I'm really concerned about when the Packers play. I'm concerned about the Bears. I think that the Bears are, you know, they're
an up-and-coming team,
aren't
they?
They really are. They made some, you know, when they got Mac, that was a really smart move.
Khalil Mack, I think, even though he's been out the last 2 weeks, really turned around their defense. I was hoping that he would end up with the Jets because he would certainly take a very credible Jets defense and make it even that much better. Because the one thing the Jets have lacked since I'm going to say the Gaston Okleko days, is a pass rusher of that caliber. To me, Khalil Mack is like another Lawrence Taylor. He's a monster. He is one heck of a football player. And, you know, coaches like to say that you win with defense, and certainly the stronger you can make your defensive team, it makes up for a lot of problems on offense. And, you know, with a good young quarterback like Sam Darnold and with the Jets having a very experienced backup quarterback who's done well for them in the past, I thought that we would be seeing a trade, particularly when Woody Johnson of the Jets thinks there's so much money to move. So, Pat, what's your take? Where's Green Bay going with all these changes?
Well, I mean, some of these younger players are really doing, you know, well. It's going to be interesting this week because a number of them, of the players for Green Bay, are either from Florida or played in Florida. For example, and I never pronounce his last name, it's Valdez Scantling. I think that's how you say it, Scantling. He's from Florida. He played at South Florida. And Geronimo Allison also is from Florida. And by the way, he's really looking good. I mean, Allison, he is a real, he could be a excellent. So far, he has really been played very well. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play much more often. Also, there's somebody by the name of Crawford. I don't really know, can't really place him, but he's also from Fort Lauderdale. And also, the Dolphins assistant linebackers coach, he played at St. Norbert's in DePere. So there's a lot of back and forth between these guys. The assistant linebacker coach who played at St. Norbert's would have a really good sense of the Green Bay team. You know, St. Norbert's is in DePere, which is right next to Green Bay. And, in fact, for years, that's where the Packers, had their summer camp. When Dave, my husband, was there, he played college football at St. Norbert's. And the Packers, they would be there all summer in training at the same time the Packers were in training. So I think that that's going to give him some advantage, knowing that as much as he should know about the Packers. There's also the run game coordinator, running backs coach is from Madison, and he played at Wisconsin Whitewater. So, you know, there's just so many of these connections. It's really the pass game coordinator and quarterback coach. They also coached in San Francisco during the Dolphins, Gore's time with the 49ers. So there's a lot of back and forth. I guess there is all of the time. I don't usually know that much about it and how many of the coaches and assistant coaches actually on one team, had some contact with, staff or players on the other team. But I'm certainly hoping that, this is a must-win for the Packers. It's absolutely
a must-win. Oh, I think so. I don't think Green Bay has any choice. And the interesting thing is, the Saints just picked up Dez Bryant. And now he got hurt in practice, seriously.
Really?
Yeah. We knew he sooner or later was going to sign. So a day after he signed, he's in practice, and they had to help him off the field. So he may have a torn Achilles tendon.
So it wasn't just that he was out of shape.
Yeah, I think that may be part of it, because an Achilles tendon is it's an easy thing to tear, but, bad luck. Bad luck for him.
Yeah, what kind of a contract did he sign? Especially if he signed a short-term contract.
I think it was a one-year deal. I think he's pretty much a rental. He turned 30. The Cowboys let him go in April, and nobody went for him. And then finally, I think he got realistic. And he ended up with a one-year deal. What I always say is that you're never as good or as bad as you think you are. But Dez Bryant, certainly a good receiver. He's exciting to watch. I think don't wish him any injury. But he's got the problem of wanting way too much money, and when the Cowboys decided that they were happy to let him walk, well, I think that came as something of a shock, to be honest. Same thing with Khalil Mack. Oakland did not want to sign him, and now Oakland is
I thought Oakland did want to sign him.
Well, they did, but he wanted too much money, and now Oakland's really hit the skids. He was the one exciting guy to watch.
Yes, he really was. I mean, I watched him in that when the Bears played the Packers that first game, and I think I've said this before, that first half, I mean, he was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I think the second half, it wasn't that the Packers got that much better, but I think that, he probably wasn't in shape and he kind of ran out of steam. But I think that a lot of these teams make a mistake. They think somebody may be, a step slower or step or two slower or, for example, I really wanted the Packers to get Peterson. And I thought that that
would. You thought Adrian Peterson was going to go to Green Bay? I don't think Green Bay would have ever picked up on him. He's probably a bad fit in the locker room, and I think Green Bay probably thought he was a toxic kind of guy.
Do you really think so? I never thought Adrian Peterson was a toxic kind of guy. I really didn't.
Maybe you know something I don't, but I always thought that he was trouble. And he was a little difficult to coach, a little difficult with his teammates, maybe a little standoffish. Maybe I'm wrong, but that was always the impression I had, just watching him on the sidelines sometimes.
No, well, I think, but that's the kind of player I think that could go to Green Bay and, as long as he didn't go in with an attitude. I mean, I couldn't have seen someone like Dez Bryant going to the Packers, but if they went in saying, and being embraced by the fans in Green Bay, that's a whole different scenario. I just thought that Adrian Peterson, first of all, I thought, obviously the situation when he beat his son was terrible, and nobody says it wasn't, but he was humble. He did everything. He did everything to come back. He took responsibility. I don't know. I thought he was a real, upstanding guy. And, of course, I saw him, play against the Packers and do too many good things against the Packers, just as he did with Washington.
Oh, yeah.
He went out, and I haven't been watching him since then. But if he made the same showing since they played the Packers, he's been a real addition to that team.
Well, I wanted to talk about the Jets again. Josh McCown's going to be starting in place of Sam Darnold this weekend against the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills are a 1-7 team. So this is a game the Jets, I'm going to predict, should win, and I hope they win. This season's been pretty much all about Darnold developing into a quarterback and getting him experience. And even the bad one last week, where the offense looked terrible against Miami. I think it was a 13-6 game. He couldn't move the ball. The whole team couldn't move the ball. And sure, the offensive coordinator, Bates, has taken the heat for that, or so he says. But you just don't know when it comes time to put an end to at least a temporary end to the suffering. And maybe in some cases, causing a problem.
Well, do you think Sam Darnold was ready? Do you think he was ready to play this year to take over that position?
I think they really should. I think they moved him into the position of quarterback for the Jets a little too soon.
Well, that's
he's shown
what
he can do, but he is a rookie, and he doesn't have a great offensive line, and he doesn't have great guys to throw to. Whereas Josh McCown, very experienced, 15 years in the NFL, steps in against a Buffalo team that's lost four in a row, the last three by a combined score of 103 versus 20 that the Bills have scored. The Jets don't have to play the kind of defense they had to play, but McCown may very well get back Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa, who both came back from injuries but really looked like they were struggling last weekend. Josh Allen may return to the Bills, but on the other hand, if he doesn't because he's injured, And Alan's who are also the Bears rookie.
Who are the Bears playing this weekend?
I'll get to that in a minute.
All right. I don't care about the
Bills,
Jets. The
Bills may be stuck with somebody named Nathan Peterman, and I'm not sure I know who that is. But everybody's saying that the Jets ought to earn themselves a win and go to 4-3. But, you know, the Lions are playing the Bears. And
oh, it's the Lions and the Bears. Okay.
Yeah, and the Lions are actually favored over the Bears.
Really?
Though, you know, they just lost Golden Tate to the Eagles, but they've got Matt Stafford with a touchdown head start in a desperate division game. But this is a big step up for the Bears, who after an easy win versus the Jets and a laugher at Buffalo the weekend before.
I'm surprised that the Bears... I have to tell you, I would be more concerned with Packers playing the Bears. I know Trubisky. I was very impressed with him as a quarterback for the Bears. I don't know what he did last week, but, I think he showed that he was young in the second half of that Bears-Packer game. But I thought he was really pretty... he could be an outstanding quarterback based on the little I've seen him play. So why do they think the Lions are going to, what do they think the Lions have right now?
I don't get that prediction. I think the Lions are not a good football team. I think they're banged up. I don't think they're all that talented to begin with. And I think the Bears are a team on the way up, which is kind of exciting.
I absolutely think they are, based on, now, granted, it was the first game of the season. Rodgers got hurt.
Hey, Trubisky's learning how to be a quarterback.
But Trubisky, and of course, Cahill, I can never say his first name, but Mac was phenomenal. I mean, I was thinking, why in the world didn't the Packers get him? Because the Packers defense is good. Not great, but it's pretty good this year. You have Daniels, who's done, I think, some he's been a little better than I thought he might be. Matthews.
Bill Wolfson.
Is certainly somebody that is still in there.
Dan, I'm on the air. Can I call you back?
We're getting phone calls, and we don't take phone calls much. Oh, sometimes we do take phone calls, but I think this was...
Well, unfortunately, it's one of my buddies wanting to not talk sports, but talk a little business or talk weekend stuff.
We don't talk business on Fridays.
We don't talk business on sundown sundown on Friday. We talk sports.
Unless it's sports business.
Yeah, sports business. And, you know, it's interesting. Speaking of sports business, I think it was Shakespeare who said, in The Taming of the Shrew, speak low if you speak of love. Well, you know what happened to the Ottawa Senators? They had a bunch of hockey players in a Lyft car, and the Lyft driver had his smartphone on while the struggling Ottawa Senators began dissing all of the other players on their team. And there apparently were four or five hockey players sitting in this SUV, all trashing everybody else on the team. And the driver, who was a fan, recorded it. And then what happened is that it became all over the internet around Ottawa. Now, Peter Melnick, the owner of the team, is furious. He's repeatedly threatened to move the Senators out of downtown Ottawa up north to Kakata, a suburb of Ottawa, about 20 miles north, because he hasn't been happy with the arena that his team plays in, first of all. And secondly, the Ottawa Senators never seem to do very well in the playoffs.
Well, and if they're dissing other members of their team, can you imagine what that locker room is like?
Oh, man, it must be like... walking in there and walking on glass with your bare feet.
I mean, that's
glass.
One of the things that, now, of course, I guess I don't know what went on, but, they got rid of Ty Montgomery as soon as he, did what he did as far as fumbling that ball. But I'm sure that as bad as everybody feels about the fumble last week, Jones is not going to see a similar fate.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Jones is, well-regarded, but I guess all of these young guys have to be really careful about somebody batting that ball out, because that's what it looked like. It didn't look like he fumbled. It looked like somebody really,
punched it right out, forced it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forced fumbles as opposed to unforced fumbles are not kept track of by the NFL.
They just call them a fumble.
It's called a fumble.
Okay.
I don't know.
So the guys who did
why
it
they
doesn't
don't keep
get
track
credit?
Of those. Pardon?
Well, but the guy who does it gets credit.
No, if you force a fumble, I'm sure the coaches are very well aware of it, but I don't know that it shows up in a statistic in a league that's certainly statistic heavy.
Oh, absolutely. They have a statistic on everything.
Forced,
I'm surprised.
Yeah. I mean, they have statistics for, how much Gatorade the quarterback drinks on the sidelines.
And the fact is, you can definitely see when it's a forced fumble versus a guy just fumbling it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that always surprises me is, a guy is back for a punt or back for a kickoff, and he somehow muffs the ball and, has to fall on it. Or he grabs the ball and starts to run, and you get a rainy night like tonight, and it slips out. And that's an unforced fumble. And if it gets recovered, I mean, obviously it's an incredibly embarrassing moment, but it's also a game changer very often.
Oh, well, look what happened to the Packers.
Sure.
Although I have to say, one of the things that...
It shows the resiliency of a team if they can get past that.
Well, and of course the Packers didn't with the Patriots. One of the things that... And I hope to see a couple of those razzle-dazzle plays again. I have to say that, the Patriots, there were just, at least two what I would consider really razzle-dazzle plays. And, that's not something that McCarthy does. Now, I'm not a big fan of McCarthy anyway, but I think that there is the talent on the Packers that they could have pulled off some of those plays, and yet they don't ever seem to, do it. I mean, we have... I do see, and the more I see Rodgers, the more I consider him, I think he's a better quarterback than Brady. I mean, Brady has the...
I think right now Brady has much better players around him.
Well, he can stand back in that pocket forever, where at the same time, when you watch the two teams, I mean, Rodgers didn't have that kind of time. He was bouncing around. He had to be running around. And I think what we need to do right now is probably play some spots, even though we don't have the list. And I think we need to tell Chris that.
Let's use the old list and hit the money button and keep our sponsors happy.
Okay, we'll do.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113. Or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call
everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m.,
the news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, Bill, any final words about what's going to happen this weekend? I'm going to predict that my Packers are going to be home. I hope it's very cold in Green Bay. I hope that the
Packer weather.
Well, I hope that the offense, the Miami offense, want to huddle around the heaters on the side, and that the defense just is too cold to play. What can I tell you? Well, they need something. The Packers need something.
Well, the Packers need a shot in the arm because they certainly have had a tough season. Likewise, the Philadelphia Eagles are 4-4, but they're playing Dallas. I don't think Amari Cooper is going to make much of a difference for the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Eagles are going to win by a touchdown. Meanwhile, I'm hoping the Jets can get a little happiness under their belts with the Buffalo Bills. And, with Josh McCown playing, I think the more experienced quarterback, but yet we're hoping he's got somebody to throw to, and we're hoping he's got the ability to establish a running game without having to run himself for his life. The Bills are really having a tough season. There's nothing exciting about them. LeSean McCoy is questionable for the game. So we're going to see some interesting football this weekend. Unfortunately, I'll be traveling this weekend.
I'll be
listening on the radio.
My understanding now is we had the Packer-Dolphin game down at 1. I understand now it's going to be the later game.
Oh, is it?
So 425, at least that's what came out on the Packer website today. So they should know, 425 here, 420, 325 back there. But, of course, in my family, the big game, since half of them are Eagle fans and half of them are Cowboy fans, and we're out of time.
800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A federal judge is holding up the controversial Keystone XL oil pipeline. Judge Brian Morris of the District Court in Montana, writing the government needs to redo its analysis to look at climate change, the impact of oil spills, and endangered species.
American Airlines is sending employees
settled U.S. Senate race in Florida. Republican candidate Rick Scott says he believes there's voter fraud going on that's been favoring his opponent, the Democratic incumbent Senator Bill Nelson. Scott saying on Fox News last night that at least two county supervisors seem to be trying to interfere in the election.
What I've done.